You're listening to The Archers Omnibus from BBC Radio 4.
A reporter.
It's just a profile piece, nothing to worry about.
Oh, in case you haven't noticed, Lillian, I am a little busy. Can't they come another time?
Now, I've suggested a picture of you with that buzzard over there on your arm.
Harris Hawke.
It'd be such a boost to your campaign for the Borsetshire Businesswoman of the Year award.
Oh, am I running a campaign? It's first I've heard.
Elizabeth.
Oh, Richard, I'm pleased you could make it.
Oh, hello, Richard.
Hello.
Look, it's nothing personal, but Justin's making faces. Needs rescuing from Linda. Will you excuse me?
How's it going?
Well, no disasters yet.
I must say, this is all very impressive. Sasha would love it.
Oh, I'm sorry she can't be here.
Yeah, me too.
How was lunch with Sheila?
Delicious. Spring lamb. Your mum was there too.
Don't tell me. She brought an apple pie?
Apple and blackberry.
I'd expect nothing less. Are they here?
Over there at the craft stalls.
Oh, yes.
And Dan was last seen racing in the direction of the Helter Skelter.
21 years old, going on 7.5.
That's what a fairground does to a person.
He's introducing Sheila to his girlfriend, Dorothy, this week.
Oh. Mm.
She's coming for a meal. Sheila's really pleased.
I love the merry-go-round. The real thing.
Mm, naturally.
You care to join me?
Richard, I'd love to, but I have to go and check the falconry people are happy.
Elizabeth, darling!
Oh, and Lillian wants me to talk to the local rag.
You don't sound too keen.
But she says all publicity is good publicity. I tend to think of it more as tomorrow's chip paper.
The reporter's over there, darling, by the birds. Best not to keep him waiting.
Sorry, Richard. I'll see you later.
OK.
They're doing a profile piece on her.
Really?
Mm, for the Borsetshire Businesswoman of the Year award. I really hope she does well.
Mum, have you seen Henry?
Over there, look.
Where?
At the Piglets. Oh. With his dad and Johnny.
He's been 5 minutes trying to pluck up the courage to touch that animal.
Oh, did Tony come and take over in the shop?
Yeah, thanks for sending him in. Mm.
Henry would find it a lot easier if he'd only let go of that fluffy toy rabbit.
It was my Easter present to him. He's called it Thomas.
Why Thomas?
He wouldn't say.
Isn't he too old for a soft toy, Helen?
No, I don't think so.
Might be different if he were a girl.
Different?
Oh, look, Johnny's helping him. Nearly there, Henry. Oh, dear.
I can't see what's so frightening about a piglet.
Henry's only little, Gran.
Young Johnny's got the patience of a saint.
So, Piggy, you were telling me about the Easter service this morning.
Oh, yes. Alan gave a very nice sermon about renewal and rebirth. And he managed to get in a plug about the reopening of the village hall tomorrow.
Oh.
And digging extra deep for the stage curtains.
Oh, he so wants to do it.
The Lent collection's been going well, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. Though the end of Lent couldn't come soon enough for some people. I know that Jolene was looking forward to her first cup of coffee.
Come on, Henry.
Hardly seems possible we've got this far. The village hall reopening.
If only we didn't have to sit through Linda's play first.
She's calling it a pageant.
I've never known anyone with such a yen for amateur dramatics.
You do know I'm in it.
Nothing personal, Pat.
Oh, Mum, look. He's so nearly there.
Go for it, Henry.
Come on.
Oh, the determination on his little face.
Oh, yep, he's done it.
Hooray, Henry!
Well done, darling.
Will you look at that smile?
There's quite a queue of kiddies behind him.
It was Rob's idea, all this, you know, Peggy. Meet the baby animals. It's a real success.
Yeah, certainly seems to be.
Fallon and Emma are doing a roaring trade in the tea room. Till in the shop hasn't stopped ringing.
Rob's given Bridge Farm a real shot in the arm.
Yes, I think it's fair to say that's right.
You must be very proud of him, dear.
Henry, yes, I am.
I need Rob. That husband of yours is more than just a pretty face.
He's a lot more than that, Gran.
She's driving poor Justin nuts.
Yeah, I remember how she can be. Cheers.
Chin chin. Ooh, lime and soda. I admire your steely will, Richard. Hmm. So, what do you think of Elizabeth's little event?
Well, I wouldn't call it little.
Elizabeth has a rare ability to think big while retaining a feel of intimacy and accessibility.
Hmm.
I said as much just now to the man from the Echo.
Good for you.
Oh, there she goes again.
Oh, Elizabeth.
No, Linda. We may share a grandchild, and I count her as a friend, but honestly, Richard, she's unstoppable. Oh, look at her, pursuing poor Justin round the park. She's driving the poor man witless. Keeps giving him notes.
Notes?
On his part. He's playing Squire Jeremiah in this pageant thing tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. The reopening of the village hall.
If you listen to Linda, you'd think it's a masterpiece of rural storytelling. My opinion, it's nothing more than a thin piece of agitprop.
Oh.
Justin deserves a medal for being so patient with her.
Indeed he does.
And there again. I'm glad he's going to be there, up on the stage, playing his part in getting the village hall up and running again.
It's an important day for Ambridge.
Ooh, yes, you can say that again. I assume you'll be going along?
Haven't thought.
Well, everyone's going to be there.
Elizabeth, hi. Can I get you a drink?
That would be lovely, Richard, thank you. The same as you, please, if that's a lime and soda.
Right you are. Ice?
Yes, please.
Look, now she's got Brian, honestly. She's like an annoying little gnat.
Another drink for you, Lillian.
Thank you, darling. I'd love one, but I'll say no. Ooh, how's that for a steely will?
Very impressive. Now, hold me a moment.
So, Elizabeth, how did it go with the gentleman of the press?
I'd rather deal with a bird of prey any day.
Don't be silly.
He seemed determined to find fault, Lillian.
Fault?
Quizzing me about whether I had the right insurances in place. Accident, acts of God, freak snowstorms, hurricanes.
Well, have you?
Of course.
Well, he'll have been looking for an angle, darling.
Shame his angle couldn't have been the fun people are having.
Yeah, but the piece he's writing is on the Businesswoman of the Year award.
I hardly think his readers will be interested in fire insurance.
But that's exactly the sort of thing the judges will be interested in. The weighing up of risk and responsibility. You know, I shouldn't say this, really. I'm supposed to be impartial, but Justin and I, we're absolutely rooting for you.
I didn't realise there was a problem with the school at Loxley Barrett.
Oh, there isn't. Henry overheard Rob and Ursula talking. He misunderstood. He got himself into a bit of a state about nothing.
So what were they talking about?
Well, Rob was only wondering, in the most general terms, if Henry might benefit from the extra attention in a private school.
A private school?
As I said, it was all a bit of a misunderstanding.
Oh, Helen!
Sorry about the wait. I got you both Fallon's special triple chocolate gâteau.
Oh, that looks lovely, thank you.
I wanted Simnel cake.
Well, it's sold out, Gran.
At Easter?
People tend to prefer chocolate cake these days.
Simnel cake, chocolate eggs. That's the proper way.
Helen, the egg we gave Henry, I hope you didn't mind. I know how you feel about him having chocolate.
No, normal rules don't apply at Easter. And thank you for the £5 you gave him, Gran.
He told me he's saving up for a helicopter.
Oh, last week it was an elephant.
I wouldn't have got him quite such a big egg, only Tony saw it.
No, yours was quite modest compared with the one Rob's parents gave him.
Oh. Aren't you having any cake?
Oh, still full from lunch.
Why not have a piece of mine?
Sorry.
How are you sleeping, love?
Fine.
You've got terrible dark rings around your eyes.
It's eye makeup, Gran.
Are you getting to bed early enough?
I'm not tired. I'm pregnant. And I'm sleeping enough and I'm eating enough and I'm absolutely fine, okay?
This chocolate cake is really rather good.
Listen to it. It just instantly creates the right atmosphere, doesn't it?
Nigel always insisted we have one. It's the music as much as anything.
You're hiding again, Elizabeth. I want her on display, Richard, where the press can see her.
Honestly.
I'm going to see if I can't collar the photographer. Might try and find a baby for you to kiss.
What is she like?
She's all very impressive, though.
Oh, thank you.
Fairground, falconry, food stalls, folk music, all the Fs.
Well, so long as everyone's happy and getting their money's worth.
Must have taken some organising.
Suppose.
Not to mention imagination.
Well, that bit's easy.
Well, not for everybody.
Oh, days like this.
What?
If Nigel were here, he'd be having such a good time.
If he were here, he'd be very proud of you.
He's a hard act to follow.
Hmm.
Still miss him. Especially this time of year. I really miss... It's my birthday soon. And he was always brilliant at birthdays and Christmases.
I'm going to be 49. Can't believe it.
Me, nearly 50.
Oh, I'm 15 inside.
A 15-year-old could never organise this. Or be shortlisted for Borsuch Businesswoman of the Year.
Problem is, Richard, I think they might be confusing me with a proper grown-up.
So what will you be doing tomorrow? Putting your feet up?
Oh, no, no. It's business as usual here on a bank holiday. And I can't miss the reopening of the Ambridge Village Hall, can I?
I was thinking of going along to that, too. Linda was telling me Eddie Grundy's organised a celebrity to open it.
Apparently.
But he won't tell her who he's got.
Yeah, well, I heard a whisper.
Oh, yeah?
Gene Harvey.
Gene? Oh, the one who hogged the stage in the play at Christmas.
The very one.
But didn't you tell me that she and Linda
didn't see eye to eye?
You think that's why Eddie's not telling Linda who he's got coming?
I wouldn't put it past him.
That would be naughty.
Yeah, I'd enjoy seeing Linda's face, though.
Elizabeth Padgett.
I know. I should be ashamed.
So shall I see you there tomorrow, then? So we can catch Linda's steely smile.
Yes, why not?
Great. It's a date.
Thank you, Pat. I really enjoyed today.
Oh, I'm pleased.
A proper old-fashioned outing for all the family.
It all seemed to go off very well.
Full marks to Rob for dreaming it up.
Definitely.
Was it just me? Or did Helen seem a little touchy?
It wasn't just you.
Of course, in her condition, you have to make allowances. All those hormones swishing around.
Perhaps it's that.
Though I'm not sure we had hormones in my day.
I just hope she's all right.
All right?
Well, she seems so on edge at the moment. I know Rob's concerned about her.
Really?
He doesn't say much, but I get the impression that after the birth, he's apprehensive that she might find it a challenge coping with Henry as well as the new baby.
Well, she'll just have to roll up her sleeves like young women have done all through history and get on with it. Besides, you'll be around to help her, won't you?
Oh, of course. But...
But?
I can see why Rob's worried about her.
Really?
Quite honestly, Peggy, I'm worried about her myself.
Well, I think it's a bit much.
Oh, just Alf being Alf.
Could at least have said goodbye.
There's never been one to make a fuss, Clary.
George, hold Kira's hands when you cross the line, please.
And George was proper upset when I told him Uncle Alf had upped and left.
Just tell him he'll turn up again one day when we're not expecting him.
I still can't get over that wonderful Easter egg George got for you, Emma.
Belgian chocolate.
Yeah, it was lovely. Though I don't like him wasting his money on me like that.
You're his mum.
He's been saving up his pocket money.
You knew about it.
Maybe.
Ed, you should have told him to spend his money on himself.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, he told me it was discounted.
What, before Easter? Oh, are you okay to keep an eye on them, Clary, while me and Ed have a last go over our lines?
Oh, no problem, love. You nervous?
No.
Yes.
Eddie Grundy. Someone's in trouble.
Oh, she'll be worrying about the celebrity.
It's okay if we make ourselves scarce.
There, love, off you go.
Thanks, Mum.
I want to know exactly what is going on.
And it wouldn't be a surprise, would it?
Tell her who you've got coming. Put the poor woman out of her misery.
Then why would I want to do that? Afternoon, Linda.
Oh.
Look, it's just a bit of stage fright, darling.
Oh, it's easy for you to say that. You're not playing the villain of a piece.
Now, Justin, we have been through this. Your interpretation of Squire Jeremiah is much more layered.
He's still the baddie.
Well, I see him as the voice of progress. Any baddie, in my opinion, is E.M. Forster for writing such a simplistic interpretation of change and improvement.
Oh, I wonder if it's too late to drop out.
The whole point of you agreeing to take part, Justin...
Yes, was community relations.
Yes, and how is it going to look for community relations if you drop out at Curtain Up? Using the word curtain metaphorically, of course.
Afternoon, Justin.
Oh, Brian.
A lovely day for it.
Oh, yes, a beautiful day for public humiliation.
I got a message you wanted to talk about Adam's no-till farming. Mm-hmm. Public humiliation?
Sorry, Brian, no time to talk. I need to get into character.
Stage fright.
Oh, dear.
Is it Jean Harvey?
Oh, ye of little faith.
Well, is it Jean Harvey?
Wait and see.
Eddie, is it Jean Harvey?
No, it's not.
But
nearly time for the pageant.
Stop worrying.
Well, who is it?
Wait and see.
Oh, I knew I should never have listened to you.
Still no reply, Eddie.
Oh, blooming thing. I can't get through.
It's Rob's here, but I can't see Helen. You'd have thought she'd have come to support her mum in the play.
I'm still not getting an answer.
Then again, she really is suffering with this pregnancy.
Maybe it's me phone. Can I use yours?
You're not listening to a word I'm saying.
Have you seen the time?
Stop panicking, Eddie.
I'm not panicking.
You're as bad as Linda.
Oh, Jean, good afternoon. It's me, Linda. How are you? Linda Snell. If I may, and I realise it's a little last minute, but there is a teensy little favour I'd like to ask of you.
Hello, Alan.
Afternoon, Clary. Eddie.
Afternoon.
Beautiful Easter service yesterday morning.
Oh, thank you. I was pleased to see you there, and the children. It was nice to see your brother again, Eddie. Alf, isn't it?
That's right.
Excuse me, Alan. I have to speak to Emma.
Is Eddie all right?
It's just his breakfast repeating on him. No, she's not here.
No, she's just popped over to the church to pick up the curtain money. I want to announce the final total after the pageant.
There looked to be a lot going in there yesterday.
Well, people have been very generous.
Well, how much have we collected?
If I tell you, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Oh, let me guess. 100?
More.
150?
More.
200?
All in all, about £400.
You're kidding me.
Anyway, the cash is in the vestry for safekeeping, and I'll announce the total after... Oh, hang on. Oh, it's Usha now. Excuse me, Clary.
Hello, love.
Yes, I do realise, Jean, that it is extremely late notice, but I'm afraid we've been let down. Which is to say, I have been let down. So I can only throw myself on your goodwill. A proper, bona fide star, such as yourself, gracing our village hall with your... Oh, I don't believe it. Oh, my goodness. It's all right, Jean, dear. Go back to your sofa. Our celebrity's arrived. Cooey! Hello, remember me? Cooey, Annika? Annika?
Thank you so much for inviting me to Ambridge today. When I drove into the village just now, my heart gave such a leap, it was as if I'd never been away.
Dad listens to her on the radio.
It might be 23 years since I was last here.
I remember her on
the
telly.
This village is as fresh in my memory as if it were yesterday.
She was so
fearless.
Possibly
because not a single one of you looks a day older.
Challenge, Annika.
It's a miracle. When I read about the Borsetshire floods last year, my thoughts immediately flew to the people I met
here. I wanted to be just like her.
And then again earlier this year with the flooding in the north of England, reading about people's homes ruined by water and mud and sewage, possessions destroyed, precious memories gone forever, delays with builders and insurance claims. Well, I thought about you all over again. I know that the flood here last year was only the start of what must have been a terrible time. But I also know that Ambridge is a place where people pull together for the common good. I saw it for myself in 1993, and looking at you all now, I can see you've done it again. If I had a glass in my hand, and why haven't I got one, Linda? I'd raise it to you. Congratulations, Ambridge. Here are the scissors for you, Annika.
What a lovely lady.
I'm proud and deeply, deeply honoured to declare the refurbished Ambridge Village Hall open. Thank you. Thank you, Annika. And now, everybody, come inside our newly refurbished hall and take your seats for our performance of England's Pleasant Land by E.M. Forster.
Well, neighbour, but don't you think this is an agreeable sight?
I'm a plain blunt man. I'm not a great gentleman, as some are.
Oh, this is a bit boring, ain't it?
Josh.
I made my own fortune, and I have a right to speak my own mind.
When do Edward and Emma get to speak?
I tell you, this is not an agreeable sight. It is a shameful, disgraceful sight, which no sensible man would tolerate.
Neighbour Jeremiah, I thank you, but your ways are not mine. I do not wish for more money or more land. I am content with the ways of my fathers. And Jack and Jill over there in the village, they are content with the ways of their fathers.
One of our major local landowners, Annika.
Which they have had since doomsday.
I tried to reflect our local power relationships within the constable.
You talk of compensation. But nothing
and if I
can
do say so myself,
for what
I
his
think
family has
I have given
for
the player a contemporary resonance.
If you take that from him, however small it is, you destroy a little piece of England.
Men of England, wherefore plough for the lords who lay ye low?
It is more like it.
Wherefore weave with toil and care the rich robes your tyrants wear? The seed ye sow, another reaps. The wealth ye find, another keeps. The robes ye weave, another wears. The arms ye forge, another bears. Sow seed, but let no tyrant reap. Find wealth, let no impostor keep. Weave robes, let not the idle wear. Forge arms, in your defence to bear.
It's their day today, but wait, wait. Our day will come. They have taken our land from us, but they will not keep it forever. Our curse goes with it. Our hatred shall poison it.
Poison.
Our sorrows shall bring it sorrow.
What do I care about the village? I've not come to live in the place, I've come to develop it. Aha! Aha! It's ripe, for development.
Come on, Clary.
There's money here, money! No, ripe for development,
I thought you and Emma was lovely.
Thank you, Mum. What was with the booing, though, Dad?
It's what you're supposed to do at the pantomime.
It's such a shame you didn't have more lines.
When did I ever get the chance to boo Justin Elliot? It was brilliant.
You're never telling me Eddie Grundy's on Twitter.
Well, it wasn't a man who tweeted me.
Oh? No, it was me.
Emma. Oh, hello. You were brilliant up there on stage.
Oh, thank you. I hope you didn't mind me tweeting, Annika.
I'm really chuffed you did.
I loved your show on the telly when I was little.
Oh, thank you.
I wonder if I could trouble you for an autograph.
Of course, let's do a selfie.
Well, thank goodness it's over.
I'll drink to that.
Can't wait to get out of this ridiculous dinner jacket.
I like it, darling. It gives you presents. Those sparkling silver buttons.
You're laughing at me.
No, not much. Look,
if you'll excuse me, I want to go and tell Jenny how much I've enjoyed being married to her.
Have I missed something, Lillian? Past tense?
I think he's referring to their on-stage union, darling.
So, tell me honestly, how did I do?
You were great.
I realise, of course, that Jeremiah was the villain of the piece, but I tried to tease out his humanity.
Well, you gave a very nuanced performance, Justin.
You think so?
And you won't have done your standing in this village any harm.
Oh, as long as I didn't make a complete twitch of myself.
You couldn't do that, darling, even if you tried.
The thing is, and not a lot of people know this, when I was at school, I used to dream of a life on the stage.
Is he always such a charmer?
Oh, yeah. He's got a real silver tongue, Eddie has.
I speak as I find.
Alan, come over here and meet Annika from the telly.
And radio these days.
I listen to you whenever I... pleased to meet you.
Annika, dear. I wonder if I might whisk you over to meet my husband.
Perhaps you remember him?
Robert.
Oh, yes, of course. This way.
All ready for your big announcement?
What?
Is that wrong, Alan? Looking a bit pale. It's
just... Clary, I'm absolutely certain I left the biscuit tin in the vestry.
Biscuit tin?
Money for the curtains?
I thought I'd locked the vestry door, but... perhaps I forgot. I don't know.
Well, what's happened?
Well, Usha and I've checked every inch of the church. We turned the place upside down.
What is it?
The money appears to have gone.
You mean someone's taken it?
Well, I can't be sure, but...
I can't believe it. Who'd steal money from a church?
You'll call me, Helen, if the two of you go out?
Well, the only place we're likely to go is the playground.
Well, a quick call, so I know where you are.
OK.
Thank you, darling.
No problem.
Who's that?
Oh. No number.
You're not going to answer it?
No. Be some robot trying to sell me insurance.
Right, well, I'll be off. Bye-bye, darling.
Bye.
You look so lovely when you smile like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In fact, you're looking very lovely altogether today.
Am I?
Some real colour in your cheeks. Huh? A sparkle in your eye. If I weren't married to you already, I'd be down on one knee right now with a diamond ring in my hand. And you're not to worry about supper tonight. I'll fix it.
No, I'm happy to take care of it.
Helen, let me take care of you.
OK.
You're the most precious thing to me, darling, in the entire world.
I...
You are. And don't you forget it. I love you so much.
What is the world coming to, eh?
Makes you think.
Stealing from a church.
I was talking about the play. All this land, all of it, used to belong to the common man.
Ah, that's what they say.
It's the labour of people like us that's made the countryside what it is today.
You watch out, Eddie. You're beginning to sound like a commie.
Linda Snell's enough to turn anyone into a commie. She brought out her spirit level again this morning.
It's funny you should talk about Linda Snell, because I've been pondering that wood burner in her shepherd's hut and why it's smoking the place out. The problem is the draw, you see. We need to try out some different pots and cowlings.
She's still got the hump with me about Annika. I said so to Clary.
Yeah, summing up with Clary. Only she don't seem herself, not since yesterday.
I know what you mean.
Is it
what?
Well, you know.
What?
Her time of the month.
Nah, she's too old for time of the month.
Oh, no woman's ever too old for time of the month.
I get the feeling she's brooding about something. I hate it when she's like this.
And what are you two doing up here at Ollatree?
We could ask you the same question, Bert Fry.
Well, I'm giving young Rex hand with his ends. You?
We thought we'd take a look at this caravan thing their birds are living in.
Hello there.
Morning.
Morning, Rex Fairbrother. How are these posh chickens of yours enjoying their new home?
Oh, want to take a look?
Susan's not talking about anything else.
Well, I suppose money going missing from a church.
It is quite shocking. Is that enough yoghurts, do you think, Rob?
Have you got any more strawberry ones?
Well, of course, I can fetch some more. And then, if you like, I'll relieve you in here.
Oh, well, I'm on the road until closing time.
I thought you might like to get back a bit earlier.
Well, it would be nice to be home with Helen and Henry.
Good, so I'll just go and get...
Can I ask you something, Pat?
Yeah, of course.
It's about Helen's birthday in a couple of weeks.
That time of year already, I can hardly believe it.
Yeah, I wanted to pick your brains. I'd like to do something a bit special for her before the baby arrives.
Oh, that's a lovely thought.
Well, I was wondering... Maybe a show in London?
It's a nice idea.
You don't sound very sure.
Well, she's never been that keen on London. How about a weekend away? In a country hotel, perhaps? A proper rest?
Oh, you think so? With Henry?
Well, Tony and I could have Henry. We'd love to look after him.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Well, a night or two away could be the thing to help her relax.
It'll do you both a world of good.
Yeah, you could be right.
Robert, I quite know how to put this, and I don't want to sound disloyal to Helen.
Disloyal?
She's a complicated young woman, and I know what it can be like to be on the receiving end of one of her moods.
Well, I will admit she's been a bit on edge recently.
She's never been a girl who finds life easy. And I just wanted to say I'm so pleased she's has such a... Well, an understanding husband.
Oh, thank you, Pat. I appreciate you saying that.
And I'm sure once the baby's here and life settles into a routine, it'll be a whole fresh start for her.
Oh, yeah, I did get your messages, but... it's a bit difficult with Henry being on holiday. Things are much better this week at home. Things are good. No, I do want to see you, Kirsty. Well, I suppose. Well, Henry's been asked to a birthday party on Thursday afternoon. I might be able to manage half an hour then. At 3? Look, sorry, I've got to go. Okay, bye. Hello, darling. You're early.
Hi. Who are you speaking to on the phone?
Oh, just another robot.
Chickens in a caravan. Now I've seen everything. They'll be asking for a wood-burning stove next.
Show them the picture, Rex, on your phone.
Picture?
Josh took it the other night. The one on the website.
Oh, right.
Your eggs is going to need attention, though.
Are they?
Well, them hens is going to take to roosting in them nesting boxes you got on the floor in there, and then you're going to have to wash every egg clean of droppings.
We thought of that. We lift them up onto the perches before we shut the door on them at night.
Every egg?
Yep, every one.
And how long does that take you? Upwards of an hour, I bet.
Well, let's just say I can't bear to look at my watch while we're doing it.
A few more days, Rex, and they'll be getting on them perches themselves.
And then you'll move them into the rebuilt egg-mobile thingy-bob, and you'll have to start the whole thing over again, won't you?
Yeah, that's right, Joe. Life's just one long party.
Yeah. Well, I think you're mad.
Sorry about this. The site's taking a long time to load.
We ought to be getting back, Dad.
No, wait for this. Josh got a lovely shot of the caravan against the sunset.
Oh, David was telling me about Josh yesterday at the village hall, saying he's too busy with his eggs and not busy enough with his books.
Did he talk about them new cows they got?
Not much.
Only I heard as how they was getting a bit frisky. That right, Bert Fry?
I'm not sure what you mean, frisky.
Lashing out at Ruth Archer come milking time?
Ah, good. Here we are.
Oh, will you feast your eyes on that, gents?
Oh, yeah. Look at that, Dad.
Oh, boy. 3 hens staring out the window and smiling for the camera.
Well, strictly speaking, Joe, hens can't smile.
Well, it's either that, Rex Fairbrother, or they're having a blooming good laugh at you.
A holiday haven for the hen in your life.
Where do you see that?
It don't. I made it up.
It's not a bad slogan. Rex, you ought to put that on your website.
Hello, Helen's phone. Hello? Who's there, please?
You're not still working, Bert.
Oh, well, I wanted to get a bit more done.
It's coming along well.
Well, I don't know about that.
Fancy heading back to the bungalow? We could do a couple of hours in your garden.
What about the chickens?
Oh, Toby can deal with them.
Where did you say he was?
Oh, he's doing the rounds of some restaurants and health shops.
Giving up more samples?
Mm.
Well, I better hope your ends start laying properly soon.
Good point.
You could always try singing to him. Or maybe get your brother to talk to him.
Yeah, that's what he's good at.
Well, he ain't good at doing washing up, that's for sure.
I'm sorry about last night.
Oh, no, it wasn't a problem for me. But I didn't like to see you clearing up after him.
Oh, no, I'm quite used to clearing up after my brother.
Yes, I'm beginning to see that for myself.
Helen.
Oh, Rob, you made me jump. Oh, that's miles away.
Away?
Oh, I'm not sure. Here and there. Daydreaming. Thinking about bathing the new baby, I think. When Henry was tiny, I used to wash him in the kitchen sink.
Doesn't sound very hygienic.
Oh, he loved it. Could you give me a call, please? Tell him his bath's ready.
There's something I need to talk to you about first, darling.
Oh?
You left your phone downstairs.
Did I?
Mm-hmm. It rang, so I answered it.
Thank you. Who was it?
It was the midwife.
What did she want?
Well, first of all, she wanted to apologise for missing your call last week.
Oh, I see.
And she asked me to give you a message.
Really?
Yeah, she wants me to tell you, Now, let me make sure I get this absolutely right. That she thinks you're making the right decision.
Really?
To change your plan and have the baby in hospital.
Okay.
The last time I checked, we were agreed on a home birth. Am I missing something, Helen? Have we discussed this?
No, Rob, we haven't.
That was the plan, wasn't it? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
Do I detect the hand of Kirsty Miller in this?
No.
Has she been dripping more poison in your ear?
I haven't even talked to her about the birth.
Well, I can't believe this simply came out of the blue.
No, it's just that
I remember us discussing the issue very thoroughly with my mother.
Yes, I know.
And she explained to you, do you remember, the risks of a hospital birth?
Yes, but
She was very clear about the greater wisdom of having the baby at home.
But she's not having the baby. I am.
I see.
No, I appreciate her concerns and yours, and I've thought about the things she said, but I want to do what's best for me. And the baby.
Well, which is precisely why my mother
I'm sorry, Rob, but I have had a baby before, and I think I can trust myself to know what's best.
Can you?
Having had preeclampsia before, it's sensible for me to be in hospital.
And you didn't think to discuss this with me?
I wanted to discuss it with Ellie first.
And then present me with a fait accompli. Look,
I know your feelings, and I respect them. But I also know I'm not comfortable with having the baby at home. And I wanted to discuss it with a professional.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's a pity you didn't talk to me first, but as you say, it's you who's having the baby, and whatever you want to do, Helen, is the right thing to do.
You mean that?
Of course.
Well, thank you for being so understanding.
Oh, Helen, of course I understand. I'll go and fetch Henry. Darling, I'm not a monster.
Eddie. Eddie, love. Eddie!
I wasn't asleep, Clary.
There's something I want to talk to you about.
Just closing my eyes. I tell you what, I'll go and put the kettle on. Make everyone a nice cup of tea.
No, listen to me, please. There's something I've got to tell you.
Well, what is it?
I've been turning it over every which way in my mind.
What?
I wish I could just close my eyes and forget all about it. But I can't keep quiet no longer.
That was Rob on the phone. He was wanting to book Henry in for a riding lesson.
Henry?
Helen's little boy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Do try and keep up, Dan.
Sorry.
Relax. Dorothy's not due for another half an hour.
25 minutes, actually. And she's got such a thing about being late. She's usually early.
I wasn't sure about Rob at first, but I have to hand it to him. He really seems to be stepping up to the plate for Henry. Now, what I want to ask you, mint sauce or red onion gravy?
What?
With the lamb. It's a bit unadventurous, I know, lamb again.
It's delicious.
Yeah, that's what I thought, especially at the moment. There's pea and mint soup to start, so I'm wondering about giving the mint sauce a miss.
Whatever you think.
She's not vegetarian, is she?
Mum, don't you think I'd have told you if she was?
Oh, right. Well, I'll just pop inside, do the gravy and...
Oh, I knew she'd be early.
Oh, but I'm still in my apron.
Hiya. Hello, you.
Hey. How do I look?
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Dorothy, hello.
Mum, this is Dorothy. Dorothy, my mum.
I'm so pleased to meet you, Mrs. Hebden Lloyd.
Oh, Shula, please.
These are for you.
Oh, roses. Oh, they're beautiful. Thank you. Sorry about the apron.
Oh, sorry about being early.
So, now we've got our British apologies out of the way, come inside and we'll have a glass of wine.
Oh, I'm afraid I don't drink.
Oh, Dan didn't tell me.
But a cup of tea would be lovely.
Excellent. A woman after my own heart. Come on in, Dorothy.
You should have told me, Clary.
I didn't want to get him into trouble.
He takes £20 from your purse. He deserves to get into trouble.
I had a word with him, Eddie. I said to him, I know you're broke, Alf, and heaven knows we ain't got much, but what we have got, we're more than happy to share with you. I said to him, if you'd only asked for the money, I'd have given it to you.
I wouldn't.
No, that's rubbish. You'd give any of us your last penny if you thought we needed it.
So what did he say to you?
Said he was sorry. Oh,
sorry? That's an easy word to say.
Yeah, well, what else could he say? Anyway, I talked to him. And I put it out of my mind. You and Joe and the kids, all of us, we was enjoying having him around. I didn't want to spoil that.
You really think Alf took that money from the church?
He was at the service on Easter Day. I was surprised he'd come again. I can't help thinking that it was planned, that he'd seen the notes flying in that tin on Good Friday. And
back to his old ways.
Helen reckons there was upwards of 400 quid in there. Oh. I feel sick inside, Eddie. Here we are, living on the goodwill of Oliver and Caroline, back in our home when we could be who knows where. All our friends and neighbours so happy for us. And along comes Alf and starts pilfering from the church, stealing from the village.
Oh, how could he do it?
In the shop today, Hilary Noakes comes in and I watched Susan. She had her eyes on her all the time she was in there.
Oh, she never thinks it was Hilary.
Nobody knows what to think. Anyway, I made up my mind. First thing tomorrow morning, I'm going up the vicarage. And I'm telling Alan what I think.
Clary, I don't want you doing that.
I got to, Eddie. I can't stand this guilt no longer.
No, Clary. He's my brother. It's down to me. I'll go and see Alan now.
Oh, I could eat that red onion gravy all on its own.
Oh, well, the secret's in the sugar.
Could I have the recipe, please?
Yes, of course. Now, you and Dan go through to the sitting room and Alistair will help me clear the rest away.
But you did the cooking. Go and sit down and we'll clear away. And I'll make you a cup of tea or coffee.
You don't know where anything's kept.
Dan can show me.
Well, tea would be very nice, thank you.
Great.
It's lovely to meet you properly, Dorothy.
And you. You and Mr. Lloyd.
Alistair.
There's such a lovely feeling in your home. I can see why Dan's such a... Such a lovely guy.
Well, we're very proud of him. Mm-hmm. Though I'd be lying if I didn't admit I worry about him.
About his job?
Yes.
I know what you mean, but it's part of who he is.
Dan says your brother's a soldier too.
Yes.
Has he been overseas at all?
He's done a couple of tours.
And how was that?
Fine for him. Not so fine for my mum and dad, or me.
You worried about him?
Yeah, you bet. But Mum says she'd worry about him if he was working behind the counter in a bank. She says it's part of the job description.
Job description?
Of being a mother.
Oh! Your mum sounds like my kind of woman.
And she says she's happy for him, that he loves his job so much.
Same as Dan.
When I was a child, I loved the story in the Bible of Daniel in the lion's den. His courage and honesty, being true to himself and winning through. Dan and my brother, both of them, they're prepared to put their lives on the line for the rest of us. I really respect them.
I can see why Dan likes you so much.
Thank you.
Now, I insist, you go through to the sitting room.
Thank you, but I'll make the tea and then, if you don't mind, I have to make tracks.
So soon?
It'll take me at least an hour to get back to Birmingham.
Aren't you staying the night with your parents in Haybury?
Oh, they've got the decorators in. Turning my old bedroom into a sewing room for my mum.
But it's still so early.
I'm a cautious driver.
Dad says, are there any chocolates hidden away to have with some coffee?
Dorothy's leaving us.
Already?
You know what I'm like, driving in the dark. I haven't been driving long, you see.
Oh, well.
I've had such a great evening, Sheila. Thank you.
Look, why not stay the night?
Oh.
That's a good idea.
If you'd like to, unless you have to be up early.
No.
Then please do.
What do you think, Dan?
It's up to you.
It's very...
We're so enjoying having you here. We'd love you to stay over.
Thank you. Yes, that would be very nice.
Clary, love, what are you doing out here?
Giving these little mischiefs the scrapings from tea time. And waiting for you. How'd you get on with Alan?
Yeah, well...
What did he say?
Well, he thanked me for going up there. Says it put his mind at rest. Oh. Told me him and Usha had been real upset, thinking that someone from the village needed the money so much they'd taken it from the church.
Really?
He asked me if there was any help they could give him.
Alf?
He said he must be in a real bad way.
No, he's just a chancer.
No, that's what I said.
So what's Alan going to do now?
Nothing. He says there's no proof Alf took it. Just our supposition. Oh, we were so nice about it, Clary. It made me feel even worse. Says he'll keep it to himself. Won't tell no one.
I gotta tell Susan.
What?
I can't carry on watching her beady eyes on every innocent person who steps in the village shop. And of course, once I tell her, it'll be all over the village.
I told Alan, Clary, I'm going to pay back every penny Alf took.
Oh, well done, love.
I won't rest till I've paid it off.
Come on in then, Eddie. I'll put the kettle on.
No, what? I think I'll stay outside for a bit, in the van, gather me thoughts.
Would it be OK if I sat out here with you, then?
Thanks, Clary Lover. I'd like that.
Oh, here, Mum. Let me get those for you.
Oh, Dan, I didn't realise you'd followed me up.
Dad's bending Dorothy's ear about the NHS. Oh,
poor girl, I hope she doesn't mind.
She loves talking about her job.
Alistair's really taken to her, I can tell. Oh, so could you reach me down one of the yellow bath towels on the top shelf? Oh, and a smaller one in case she wants to wash her hair in the morning.
Small towels?
Shelf below.
Ah, got it.
And, what about sheets?
That's why I've come up. Dorothy's really pleased you've invited her to stay. She's having a great time.
We all are.
But, would you mind if we made up one of the spare beds? I know it means extra laundry, but when I stayed over at her parents' house, they put me in her brother's room, and that felt right somehow.
Oh, Dan, what a relief.
Sorry?
Well, when I invited her to stay, the words just came out of my mouth. I don't want to be old-fashioned, darling, or prudish. You're an adult, and so is she. But at the same time...
It's fine, Mum.
I didn't want to make assumptions.
Mum, it's fine.
I just want everyone to feel comfortable.
Oh, so do I. And so does Dorothy.
She's a very special girl, Dan.
I think so.
I like her very much. Why are you smiling like that?
She's just said exactly the same about you.
We was all so happy, Alf. You being here. Kids. Me. Clary. Dad. Taking that money. How could you do it? I thought you couldn't. Shock me no more. But I was wrong. Anyway, I want to spell it out for you. Good and clear. So there's no misunderstanding. You're not welcome no more, Alf. Not now. Not never. And it's no good you trying to call me, because I won't answer. As far as I'm concerned, I used to have a brother, but now I don't. Goodbye, Alf. Oh, Clary.
I know, love.
Oh, could you give me a hug? Just for a minute.
Come here.
I'm so ashamed, Clary. I'm so ashamed.
I'm guessing Rob doesn't know you're here.
Kirsty, you've been great, but... You've never liked Rob, have you?
Helen, it's not about whether I like him or
not. There's
a
side to him that you don't see. can be loving and caring, really, he can. To me and to Henry. He's booked a riding lesson at the weekend for Henry as his Easter present. Henry's beside himself with excitement. Okay, so every marriage has its ups and downs.
Did you ring the helpline number?
I'm not sure I was seeing things straight last week. Things are much better now.
Did you ring them?
I spoke to Rob about the birth. I told him I feel safer in hospital, and he's agreed. He says it's fine. He wasn't cross.
You didn't ring the helpline.
Things are much more settled.
I'm pleased, Helen, but I still wonder if it might help if you could speak to someone.
There's no need.
If not the helpline, then perhaps a counsellor.
A counsellor?
I'm still worried about you.
Well, stop. There's nothing for you to worry about. Look, you and Rob, you only see him one way. You don't see the other side of him. It's complicated. He's complicated. I don't expect you to understand.
Jess might understand.
Jess?
You're right. I don't know Rob. But she does.
Jess?
She knows him. She might be able to help you.
I've got to go. I've got to pick up Henry from his party.
You've got time for another cup of tea, haven't you?
No, I shouldn't.
Don't rush off, Helen. It's really good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
Peppermint or chamomile?
Didn't take long.
I just had the strangest conversation with Clary Grundy.
Oh, was she in the shop?
Yeah. She pointed at the picture of Annika Rice on the front page of the Echo and said people ought to remember it was her Eddie persuaded Annika back to the village and the Grundys have got a lot to be proud of.
Oh, how very peculiar.
That is exactly the mot juste, Jenny. Peculiar.
Hi, Lillian.
Oh, still no sign of him, I'm afraid, Adam.
No sign of who?
Samuel Cooper, the agronomist. Apparently he's got some sort of family crisis going on.
Oh, do you know, I'm never sure about tulips. They so easily get top-heavy.
The colours are nice, though, darling.
Yeah, I hate weeding. I wonder whether I should just turn these beds over to nature, have my very own herbal lay.
Don't let Brian hear you say that.
Don't let Brian hear her say what?
Wild flowers along here, darling.
Oh, lovely. Adam, would I be in the way if I walked the wheat with you and Cooper?
Not at all.
Only Justin's been on the phone.
Oh, I've just been to buy today's Echo so he can see the article about him and the Businesswoman Awards.
We've already got a copy indoors.
I thought he'd appreciate his own. I hope he'll be happy with the picture they've printed.
Anyway, Adam, he wants some more info about your no-till idea, so I was thinking we could pick Cooper's brains while he's here.
Yes, by all means. Oh, here he comes now.
Oh, right.
Well, I'm ready for a cup of tea. Lillian?
You know me, darling. Never say no.
It's just that I was wondering if Jess might be able to shine some sort of light on Rob's behaviour.
Kirsty, even if I did want to talk to her, which I don't, why would she want to talk to me?
I agree, she might not.
Well, but another thing, how would I get in touch with her?
Well, you could look up her number on Rob's phone.
I hardly think so. He has it on him all the time. Anyway, it really is time I got back for Henry.
No, don't go, not yet. I've got something for you.
A present? It isn't my birthday for another couple of weeks.
Oh, not a present. Not exactly.
Oh. What is it?
I brought you this.
A mobile phone?
It's an old one of mine with a new SIM card and £20 worth of credit.
Why are you giving me your old mobile?
I've put my number on it, under G for Grey Gables, and the helpline, under H.
I've already got a phone.
But Rob monitors yours, doesn't he? Take it, Helen. Put it in a drawer or something. Don't tell Rob you've got it.
Thank you, but I don't need this. I told you, things are much better at home. I'm okay, Kirsty.
Just in case, please. It would make me feel better to know you've got it.
You're such a good friend, Kirsty. So kind and thoughtful.
But you could use it maybe to phone Jess. Please, Helen. Please. Take the phone.
Bit rich, taking a personal call in the middle of a business meeting.
Well, apparently his wife's about to go into labour.
Oh.
Anyway, he seemed very supportive of the no-till proposal for the estate land.
Yes. Yeah, well, how long did he say till we get the results back on the soil samples?
He didn't specify, but it won't be long.
Well, as I said, Justin's not opposed to the idea.
But you are?
Oh, Adam, in all the benefits you talk about, they're not going to come without a cost.
I agree. There'll be a drop in yields for the first few years. But when I've got all the relevant information, I'll look at the figures and projections, weigh them up, short-term, medium and long-term. Rest assured, I won't recommend any change unless it's financially viable.
I'm very relieved to hear it.
I'm a businessman, Brian, not a utopian.
Excellent. So this report Justin wants you to present to the BL board.
What report?
Didn't I tell you? That's why he rang.
No, you didn't say.
Oh, sorry. Might be an idea if you were to run it past me first, so we both go into the meeting on the same page.
All right.
Great. Oh, and another thing. I had Pip on the phone as well this morning. She wanted to chat with you, something about the arrangement of grazing her cattle on the herbal lays.
Ah, okay. I'll call her back later. So, in another month or so, the cows will be up here. Mm-hmm. And the herbal lays you so despise will be earning their keep.
I didn't despise them, Adam. I just thought... Oh, it doesn't matter what I thought. But I will just say this, though. I'm pleased to see you so focused on your work and thinking of the long-term good of the farm. Ah, Samuel, all okay at home?
Is that a compliment you're paying me, Brian?
I'm not sure I'd go that far.
Yes, darling, you're on page 3. No, Justin, not topless. It's rather a flattering picture. Nice headshot of you, surrounded by the nominees. Not a bad write-up at all. Describes you as having international interests and lots about your commitment to the local area. But I'm sure your cutting service will have picked it up, but I thought you'd like to know. It's my pleasure, darling. Speak soon.
Justin's happy.
I thought you were making tea, Jenny.
I'm aching in every muscle.
Oh, poor you.
Well, that's the trouble. When I start gardening, I get involved and... Oh, I don't know when to stop.
Now, Jenny, I want to talk to you about the Borsetshire Businesswoman of the Year lunch. Mm-hmm. You said you'd organise a table.
Well, as I remember, Lillian, you said I'd organise a table.
So I booked it in your name.
Well, why didn't you book it in your name?
Now, I've got a list of people who've said they might be interested. Pat signed up, and she's fairly sure Helen will want to join. And I floated the idea with Shula,
right.
And she said she'd mention it to Ruth. Oh, and Mum says she'd like to come along. Oh. And I've arranged for the bill to be sent to you here.
You've done what?
Don't worry, darling. I've told everyone to give their share to you. And everyone wants to be there to support Elizabeth.
Hello?
In here.
Hello, Rob.
Helen.
I just went to pick up Henry from the party, but
I had to go and fetch him. I'm afraid he let us down, darling.
What did he do?
One of his tantrums. Screaming, stamping his feet, yelling.
Oh, dear.
Joseph's mother had to call me to come and collect him.
Why didn't she call me?
Well, your phone's by the sink.
Oh, I didn't realise.
The thing about mobile phones, Helen, they're supposed to be mobile.
Yes, I know, I'm sorry.
Where have you been?
I was...
No need. I know. With Kirsty at Grey Gables. One of the mothers at the party spotted you in the coffee shop.
Yes.
You've been in touch with her behind my back.
I know. You don't like her, Rob.
Well, whether I like her or don't like her is immaterial. She doesn't make you happy.
Please don't be angry with me.
I'm not angry, Helen. I'm disappointed.
Where's Henry now?
Up in his room. I've told him he can't come down until we say so.
Oh, Rob.
He was extremely naughty when we got home.
What did he do?
Well, I told him he was to sit quietly in front of the television. I was quite clear he was to sit on the sofa and not move an inch. I couldn't have been clearer.
And?
As soon as my back was turned, he got off the sofa, went to the cupboard and took out that ridiculous Easter egg your parents gave him.
It is not ridiculous.
He started sharing it with that stupid soft toy you gave him. I could hear it from in here. One piece for Henry, one piece for Thomas.
Well, that's really sweet.
It wasn't sweet. It was greedy and undisciplined and plain disobedient.
Well, I'm sure he didn't mean to...
Has to learn to do as he's told.
I'll go up and have a word with him.
No. I've made the punishment fit the crime and now I want him to have time on his own to
but
think.
But I just want to...
Sit down, Helen.
when you say you made the punishment fit the crime?
I told him to throw his Easter chocolate in the bin.
The egg from my mum and dad?
Mm, all of it. Along with that ridiculous fluffy rabbit.
Thomas!
What were you thinking of? He's far too old for soft toys.
No, he loves it!
Sit down,
but he'll
Helen.
Be upset.
Sit down! How will he learn to behave if you keep indulging him?
He's only
you
little.
You have to be consistent with the child. One minute you're saying you don't want him eating the chocolate my mother gave him because it makes him hyperactive. The next minute it's absolutely fine because the chocolate's come from your mother and father.
That's not fair. Your mother gave him an egg too and I let him eat that. That's really not fair, Rob.
Darling, can't you see what Henry's doing to you? He's playing you, winding you round his little finger. You're on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
I'm fine.
You can't carry on like this.
I'm fine.
That prescription the psychiatrist gave you for antidepressants.
No, Rob.
I'll call the pharmacy and see if they've got the tablets
I
in stock.
I don't want to take antidepressants.
Well, it's not about what you want, Helen. It's about what you need. If they haven't got them locally, I'll drive into Borchester.
Please, Rob, don't make me take them.
I only want what's right for you.
Mummy. Henry!
And sit down, Helen.
But he's unhappy.
He has to learn how to behave.
Henry.
You sit down, I'll go to him. Sit, Helen. While I'm upstairs, you can call the pharmacy.
I haven't got the number.
Oh, it's on my phone. P for pharmacy. Mummy. Back in your room, Henry. Daddy's coming.
You want me to look up the number on your phone?
I said so, didn't I? Look up the number on my phone. Oh, the sooner we get those tablets for you, the better.
Jess.
Hello, Helen.
How are you? Nice jacket. Well, thank you for coming all this way.
I've only come from Birmingham.
Oh, I thought you were living in Hampshire still.
Ethan and I are spending a few days with a friend of mine.
Right. You didn't say on the phone.
Why would I?
No. I suppose so. Have you left Ethan with your friend?
Yes.
Henry's with my mum.
How did you get my number, Helen?
From Rob's phone.
Does he know you're meeting me?
He doesn't keep tabs on me, you know.
You're lucky. He kept tabs on me.
He knows I'm in Felpersham, but he thinks I'm at the soft play by the supermarket with Henry and my mum.
And does your mum know you're meeting me?
I said I fancied a walk. If she knew I was here, there'd be too many questions. Can I get you a coffee?
No, thanks.
Tea?
Let's go for a walk. That way you won't be lying to your mother.
I was just admiring that little fella over there.
By the hawthorn?
Yeah, proud little beggar, isn't he?
He's a looker, all right.
Have you ever thought of showing your sheep?
I've got me hands full at the moment with the new cows.
Oh, I heard they was a bit frisky.
Just a couple of kicks at milking. Goes with the job.
You could try moving the mangers back a bit. They wouldn't have so much room then.
David did that very thing yesterday afternoon.
Ah, there we are. Great minds.
Only got kicked once this morning.
Sometimes, with the young uns, my Frieda says, you have to remind them who's boss.
Are we talking about cows here, Bert?
Well, what else? Right, let's get these lambs fed.
If you could open the gate.
No, you open the gate. I'll do the heavy lifting.
You're still a gentleman, Bert.
Well, I do what I can.
And how are you getting on with your new housemates? You're very young, young uns.
Oh, they're helping me with the garden.
Josh mentioned that.
Ah, but Rex has been doing most of the work. Toby thinks he's better at taking an overview.
Now, why doesn't that surprise me?
Oh. Rex brought me a cup of tea in bed this morning.
He's a kind lad.
Oh, very thoughtful young man he is. But the other one, take last night. Young Toby had left his dinner plate on the side. All cold gravy, congealed, stuck to the plate. Ugh, a layer of fat forming on the top.
Ugh.
Rita says to me, that's not nice, Bert.
Oi,
Bert!
Hello, Rex!
Oh, dear me.
What is it?
Well, I'm in trouble.
I've got a bone to pick with you.
Have you got anywhere I could hide?
I guess Rob's happy about the baby.
Yes, he is.
Helen, on the phone, you said you wanted to talk.
Yes.
About anything in particular?
It's difficult, Jess. I don't want to upset you.
Oh, I'm over being upset about anything to do with Rob. What do you want to talk about?
Ethan.
What about him?
Why did you think Rob might be his father?
Well, he wasn't a gift from the store.
But the DNA test said it wasn't Rob.
And you want to know what happened?
What? I've no right to ask.
Okay. Okay. Bare bones. After we split up, he came to see me when he was with you. Brought flowers, champagne. Said he wanted to get back together. Said he still loved me. One thing led to another, and...
I see.
If you think I swooned into his arms like a blonde in a B-movie, then think again.
Sorry.
I tried to push him away. It didn't feel right. But when Rob decides he wants something...
He doesn't take no for an answer.
Anyway, next morning, he didn't even stay for breakfast. Told me it had just been sex. And as a parting shot, he said that you were a much better lover than me.
I'm sorry.
I felt like a lump of dirt on the bottom of his shoe. Anyway, a few nights later, at a party, I bumped into someone I knew when I was a student. I was lonely and unhappy and now I've got Ethan. So at least something good's come out of the mess. Do you want to sit down?
Oh, would you mind?
Of course not. You look tired. There's a bench over there, look.
Oh, thanks. Oh. But you didn't know who Ethan's father was?
No.
But you wanted it to be Rob?
He always wanted a child when we were together. He really wanted a son, but I never fell pregnant. I suppose I thought, oh, Helen, he can be like a drug. I kept going back, wanting more, even when I knew he was bad for me. But time's passed, and now, honestly, hands on heart, I'm relieved Rob isn't Ethan's father.
Relieved.
Life's so simple these days. Straightforward. When I was with Rob, every morning when I woke up, there'd be a knot in my stomach.
Yes.
But these days, when I wake up, I'm looking forward to the day. The things Ethan and I are going to do together. The things he might say that'll make me laugh.
When it was just me and Henry, we used to laugh all the time.
So, Toby's blaming you.
Yeah, he thinks it was an April Fool.
He's no fool like a young fool.
He says he's going to get me back.
He'll have to look sharp. It's 5 minutes to midday by my watch.
Yeah, there's always next year.
Do you want to live back to the farm?
Oh, thanks. I'm going the other way.
OK, but before I go, I want you to tell me the story again.
Oh, it don't bear retelling.
I think it does. You were laughing too much, Bert. I couldn't get it straight.
Well, it's funny.
I want to get the details right when I phone David and tell him. So, Rex was first through the bathroom this morning. And when Rex came out, Bert went in. Anyway, the next thing Rex knows, Toby's up at Hollertree and he's spitting bricks. Because when Toby finally got out of his pit and went in the shower... sorry. When Toby was in the shower, at first everything was normal. Then he wondered if the water might be turning a bit orange. And then it went a bit brown. And then... and then he started to see little orange and green bits coming out of the shower head. Well, Bert's only put a beef stock tube in there.
You must hate me.
I will admit you haven't been my favourite person. But it was Rob I was married to. And the way I look at it now, you did me a favour. You got me out of the marriage. Left to myself, I wouldn't have had the strength to leave.
I felt terrible, Jess. I knew it was wrong, and then once I'd met you, I kept saying to myself, you've got to finish it, Helen, but then I'd see him and...
I know.
He was always so strong, that was the thing. It made me feel strong. You know when you're at school and the girls are chatting in the playground about the men they're going to marry? Well, I always had someone like him in my head. Someone who'd look after me and make me feel complete. Oh, I'm so sorry, Jess. I shouldn't be talking to you like this.
I keep telling you, don't I? I'm over him.
If Rob knew, he'd be so angry.
Are you scared of him?
No.
Has he hurt you?
Hurt me?
Has he?
Well, he slapped me once. Only the once, and it was my own stupid fault. I raised my hand to him first.
Oh, yes, I blamed myself too.
He hit you?
He was going on and on the way he did about something I'd done wrong or said wrong or thought wrong. And I suddenly had enough, and I... Oh, I can't even tell you. I'm so embarrassed. I was so childish.
What did you do?
He just wouldn't stop. That was the thing.
What did you do?
I can't tell you.
Please.
I put my hands over my ears, and I went, la, 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 I can't hear you.
No, you didn't.
I did.
To Rob?
I know.
And then he hit you.
And then he hit me.
You know, I always used to think that if a man ever raised his hand to me, I'd be off like a shot.
Yeah.
I don't recognise myself. I don't know who I am.
That's how I used to feel.
He started on Henry.
Oh, Helen, no.
I gave him a toy rabbit for Easter, a brown and white thing, not expensive. Henry loved it. Called it Thomas.
What happened?
Oh, Henry was naughty. He ate his Easter egg without permission.
Oh, come on, that's not naughty.
Well, Rob said it was. So he made Henry throw all his chocolate in the bin. Then he had to throw Thomas away too.
No!
Cried himself to sleep last night. Rob wouldn't let me go to him.
Oh, Helen.
This morning, over breakfast, Henry told me he'd called the rabbit after my brother, his Uncle Tom.
To do that to a child, that's wicked.
Maybe he'll change. Once the baby's here... I mean,
is that what you think?
That's what I hope.
You're going to stay with him.
He's my husband.
He was my husband once. And every day I was with him, he chipped away at me bit by bit until there was no joy left. And then he kept on chipping. If you hadn't come along, by now there'd be nothing of me left.
Earlier this week, he said something strange to me.
What?
He said, I'm not a monster, Helen. Do you think he's a monster?
Yes, I do. Get away from him, Helen, or he'll crush you until there's nothing of you left.